years later. The guy's a bit out of date, but he still thinks he's very important, and he's the only, like, sane one around, and he knows who the bad guys are. And he had a personal fear of the Catholics taking over the United States. Now, you'll note, you look at my diaries, and look at a 1954 diary note. I always said there was clues in my diary. Look at the 1954, little my conversation with Hoover and what he says way back then. So he's determined to make sure that Kennedy, did you hear what they said? He genuinely believed he was protecting the Republic. He wasn't out for a personal thing. He said, look, this Kennedy guy is part of the Catholic conspiracy to remove me and put the Catholic jerks in. Right?
Okay.
So he actually believes that he's doing a good thing removing the Catholic conspiracy.
So, I mean, but what other proof was there? What is the Catholic conspiracy? What, you know?
Well, the Catholics were not popular in basically a Protestant United States. Catholics were these idiots from Europe who, they weren't, I don't know what Protestants, what their reasonings were, but they didn't like Catholics. And it was a big problem. Many people said Kennedy will not be president because he's a Catholic. I mean, it's like being a Jew or something, or being a black person like Obama. You know, like Jesse Jackson in the 80s. Oh, he's not going to be a president. He's black, you know. The prejudice against the blacks, it was happening to the Catholics in the 50s. And yet they had Cardinal, who was that? Cardinal somebody
Spellman.
In New York. Spellman. He had a TV show, and these creepy Catholics from the Protestant Freemasonic elite are saying these Catholics are getting popularity, you know, through TV. So Hoover's has that attitude, and he does not want the Catholics having influence in the White House. So he thinks he's stopping a conspiracy.
What was his relation to the brothers from the CIA that Kennedy got?
Well, that'll come out later. That's coming. We're just getting the beginning. Finally, we're getting to the facts here. I did 86, 87, 89, now we're 90. It's like my fourth attempt. Fifth attempt to get some, right?
You've gotten already, man. It's great.
Yeah, it's just the beginning of it. We got a whole bunch more coming.
Oh, my
and
God.
So it's very nice to play this for the first time in public play to you.
Oh, I am honored. Oh,
yeah,
been,
you should be.
You know what?
I've been greatly
bugging
honored.
You about this. I am greatly honored, Bob.
Absolutely. You've been bugging you about this since 1999.
That's right. And the Boodians.
Yeah, the Boodians. Is there anybody else here who wants to say anything? Because we'll continue. I had to. What did I do there? I stopped it. Oh, yes, because. Can't even remember why I stopped it. There was a reason. Why did I stop it?
Did it end?
No. Oh, because we went over the midnight. Yeah, we went to the top of the hour.
Yeah, top of the hour.
Yeah. Who's saying that? Who's speaking? Is that Michael? Okay.
Yes.
Yes. It blips out. When we go over the top of the hour without the commercials, it knocks a bit of the sound out for 5-10 seconds or something, right? So I don't want any words missing. So we have to be quiet, go over the hour. Now we're back up. We're on the other side now, so let's continue here. I'll put you guys... We've got another, 8 minutes or something left. Gets pretty good.
Great.
Here goes. Mute all...
All participants are now muted.
Move it back slightly just so we don't miss any words. Okay, that's probably good right there.
The means by which the United States would become a nation where church and state would no longer be separate, but would be thus co-opted. He obviously believed that.
And JFK was Catholic.
Exactly. And also at the same time, when Kennedy said, if you cannot see that there's a mafia, then we best put a person in who can see this, to Hoover, that was proof positive that the Catholics were going to remove a good man so they could put in their own people. He had many conspiracies on his mind.
But he knew there was a mafia.
No, he did not. He knew, there were organized bands of criminals who bonded together for convenience of this crime or that crime. But there was no organized crime. else the FBI would know of it.
So there wasn't a mafia?
There was. But whenever it was brought up to Hoover that there would be such a thing as the mafia, he would say, no, there could not be a mafia because there is the FBI. If there were a mafia, we would know about it. So therefore, it could not exist. And if it did exist, we would know about it. But since we do not know about it, it obviously cannot exist. It became a circuitous argument.
Right, so did he not see these crime organizations because he was a criminal in a way himself?
No, he did not see them because if they did exist, it meant that his service, the FBI, was falling down on the job.
So he just by his age and his years in service, he became numb to what was really going on around him.
He was not allowing himself to see this because if he saw it, then he had failed.
So, were any of the Rockefeller families involved in the conspiracy?
At that point, we must close the subject.
Will you ever tell Bob who these other five were?
That we cannot do.
And is there any point in knowing where Hoover's files are?
No, because they do not cover that event. But what will be known is, across the next several years, Hoover's diary will be found. The findings of the Warren Commission, sealed for all those years, will be ordered that they will be unsealed. It will take an act of Congress to do so. But they will be unsealed.
They will be.
Indeed, they will.
You mean in the date that's supposed to, it's already arranged?
No, the date is not arranged.
Everyone's told me, I don't know, maybe I got it from Michael, that in 1991 information would come out that would point to the assassination conspiracy. Was this man White, was this the event?
That's the event.
This is the main stuff coming out in 1991.
It is.
Ricky White.
But realize that everything will be done, everything, to prove that his father was insane. Everything. The coverage of this is immense. Immense.
Yeah, it's the only time a story like this has given such national coverage.
But do you see how quickly it is being buried? Do you see how quickly his insanity is being pushed? How quickly the team that is assigned for damage control, term it that.
Bobby Inman.
Good. That team activated. It took less than a week to get everything into position.
Yeah.
You mean how much time is remaining in the session?
Approximately 2 minutes.
Okay.
So it's come out. Oh yeah. Was his father the sniper at the Grassy Knoll?
No, his father was not the sniper. His father was the backup man to pull the sniper out.
To help him escape?
Yes.
Ricky White does not know that. He thinks that his father is the sniper.
No, that's an error. He was the backup man.
But he's the closest to the operation of living people, right?
Yes.
Because I think Evergreen said in 87 those snipers were killed.
Of course, every cutout was murdered.
Why wasn't this one guy murdered?
How did he die?
In 71, yeah, he died, I can't remember, of cancer or something. I don't know. He died, a house burned down?
Exactly.
Yeah, he was burned in a fire, right?
He was burned in a house fire.
He was murdered.
Now you get the point.
You cannot ever tell me those five people.
No, that we cannot.
I will find out when I die.
No, you will find out before that, but you will not hear it from us. There is specific reason we cannot tell you.
Right, and are we being monitored from other dimensions here?
On this? No.
I mean, on a dimension, like in the spiritual plane, is there a network?
You see, those who are involved with this, what they're saying to us is tread carefully in this, tread very carefully.
Those who were involved in ordering the assassination?
Those who ordered it and those who were involved in it and those who were killed in it.
Yeah, they know about the Evergreens.
Indeed they do.
And are they there now?
Yes.
And they can threaten you on that dimension?
No, they cannot threaten. No, far from it.
They're trying to help you.
They're saying to us, make sure that the questioner is not put in a position where he would be harmed. And that we knew before. You know those five names. Life becomes quite dangerous. We're not trying to frighten you. We're not trying to threaten you or any. We're suggesting you're not useful. Not at this time.
The knowledge
for a
is
number
like,
of years.
Beg your pardon? Last words? You just said?
Not for a number of years.
Yeah. The knowledge is like a disease, a virus.
It's killed a number of people now.
Yeah. But nobody killed Mae Brazel.
No.
No, that's no. Natural death.
That was natural.
Did Marshall McLuhan talk to Mae Brazel about her work in the Kennedy assassination?
Yes. He said she almost got it.
She almost...
Yeah, almost got it.
She almost figured it out.
Yes.
Is she the one that did the most?
She did most.
Of someone not involved, she was the most accurate guesser.
Yes. Which she could not get that Hoover linkage.
She knew Hoover was involved on some level.
Yes.
Cover up.
But she did not know how. That in actuality, he was the instigator of it.
So I do know, and I know the guy who's triggered it.
Good.
And that's dangerous, but how many years do I keep this quiet?
Just put it as a conspiracy theory of all conspiracy theories. What if this had happened? What if? So let us make a fairy tale of it.
And when would we do that?
Whenever you choose.
You can't talk about it that way.
We could talk about it. But
never presented as real.
Presented as a what if. Of all the conspiracy theories, here's one that's added to the pile.
Yeah, so the most paranoid guy in the government at that time did it. He was the most conspiratorial bent person.
Exactly.
His view of reality.
Exactly, and this must end.
Okay.
Thank you, Evergreens.
Thank you, Evergreens. So unless there's any further comments, shall we end the session?
Please.
Thank you. Dear Lord, please...
All participants are now unmuted.
Nice story. Nice story. Hey, still there, Evan? Hey! Anybody there?
Yeah,
Bob.
I am.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Evan, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Right.
Yeah?
What do you think of that fairy tale I just told?
Heavy.
Yeah. A heavy, heavy fairy tale. It's just a story.
Yeah.
More to come. The fairy tale grows. We will tell more. So depending when you get back, Evan, you should get back as soon as possible, and we'll carry on so you get to hear it.
Good. I will do that because I do need to check out of Bob Dome, but I will be back very soon. It's been an honor. I love it. Thank you so much, Bob.
Right, and what is today? Saturday? You got chores to do?
I have to go take a test, do a little meeting, and then I'll be back.
You're back in 5 or 6 hours or more?
Let's see. What is it now? It's a
quarter after five.
Yeah, it's gonna be 6 hours about, yes.
Okay, you come back at 1 o'clock or so. Email me if you can't do it, something comes up, and so I'll wait, I'll play other stuff. We've played a good chunk, lots more to play, but it'd be fun if you get to hear this in person, we get your reactions.
I will be back, sir, and I will email. Okay, dear, love you. Bye.
Alright. Everybody say goodbye to Evan.
Bye, Evan.
Bye. Have a great morning.
Okay. So we have Michael here. Who else is speaking in here?
Bert.
What?
Bert.
Well, Bert, you're still here. Okay. And anybody else? Okay. So, what do you guys, do we carry on, go back to the evolution of the universe, or do you want to do, let me read some messages. Let's have, let the people be heard. What times that we're clear after? Okay, so we have here new messages over the last hour or two is Sean, Roxanne, what about all those coneheads? Leon goes, wow, HIV. Yes, a little bit of AIDS. There's going to be a lot more about that, Leon. You'll get the facts on that over the next few days. Bert says, hey, Bob, I grew up in the town where Fort Detrick is located. What is that, Baltimore? Where is Fort Detrick?
Outside
Maryland?
Yes, Maryland, yeah.
But which town? Near Baltimore?
It's called Frederick.
Okay. Fort Detrick, Frederick. And you grew up there. Did you know about Fort Detrick?
Yes, I did.
Was there a local mythology about it?
Yeah, a little bit, what you call kooky tales that, you know, the winos and things would talk about, but, yeah.
The winos, they're all former government workers who got cutouts, who got eliminated.
Believe it or not, yes, that's true. A lot of them work there.
Yeah. All right, so that's, you're sending me that, you did that during the recording, just to see if I would see it, right?
Yeah.
Were you just
that's
trying to get
I heard
attention?
No, not to get attention, just to make a note about that. But it's a really interesting place. Right.
Right. How far is that from Baltimore?
About 35 to 40 minutes.
Okay, so it's in that area.
It's like at a point of a triangle. It's like 45 minutes to Washington, D.C. and 45 minutes to Baltimore.
Right. Okay, good. All right, that's all we have there, but over in the chat room we have these kind of comments. Let's see if they're talking about what we're playing. Okay. Crypto says over the course of taking the RNA drops he mutated into a Sasquatch. All right. Then Oort says, that's O-O-R-T, Planet Earth is probably the best reality show in the universe. Slob, oh, we did that. That's Robert. He says, just listening to the Leather Greens. He calls them the Leather Greens, Bob Fest. Pinching a trillionth of a second Big Bang query. And then Augmenter says, you got some balls, Slob. And then Crypto says, I just pinched one off myself, created a whole new universe. That's how I roll. Only West Coast freaks are up right now, and me. And the other worlders. Bob shot JFK. That's right. Throw that story on the pile. Augmenter says, all right, the show is going to get started now. Woo-hoo! Great to hear you, Eben. So, Augmenter likes Eben. Cider Somerset, who is Steve, says, ah, I knew J.J. Abrams is one of the JWs.
Hmm?
He thinks J.J. Abrams is one of the JWs.
JW, yeah.
Yeah, J.J. Then he says, he quotes, science fiction and reality are blending into one in my reality. McLuhan made that statement 60 years ago. Science fiction and reality are the same thing. Somebody named Yak It Off. I remember that. That's an old name way back there. Oh, look what he did. You heard me mention to Evan my diary entry? Yacked Off posted my diary entry. September 29th, 1954, in Washington, J. Edgar Hoover yells at me. I have written, J. Edgar Hoover screamed at Bob and his partner. And here's what he said. They've nailed McCarthy, and now the Catholics are going to run roughshod over us all. And I go, yeah, this Joker McLuhan is a Catholic. I had to. I'm just a young person in the employ of these fuckers, and I wasn't gonna. Yeah. I hate the Catholics too, Edgar. They're fucking assholes, like McLuhan. It's a good example of Bob under pressure, still a coward, has not fulfilled his destiny at that point. Here I was personally very impressed with McLuhan, but push comes to shove, I say to Hoover, yeah, this fucking joker, he's a Catholic too. We're going to have to off him.
Hey, Bob, I forgot how much of a jewel treasure chest your timeline is. I used to look at it periodically, but then the ion stuff pumped up. With a question.
Right.
Does Corbin know that you met Alice, his buddy Alistair Crowley?
Yes, Corbin knows. Corbin's quite impressed. He says, I'm the successor to Alistair Crowley.
Ah, okay. No,
his
I saw
scenario
that on the timeline.
Yeah, his scenario is, from the 19th into the 20th century, Alistair is in charge of the paradigm shift. From the 20th century into the 21st, Bob is in charge of the paradigm shift. Corbin is in charge of the paradigm shift from the 21st to the 22nd century. That's ABC, Alistair, Bob, Corbin. That's his scenario.
But when is Bobo coming in?
That's me, I guess, or a combination of me and him.
Bobo, yeah.
That's a transitional government. But the point is, you know, years later when I found out about the Catholic element in the Kennedy assassination, I made sure this diary, because that had happened to me. I didn't know that he was fucking serious about this, that Hoover would, you know, get real paranoid back then. But I stuck that in the diary. I have jewels that mean something when you know more. 20 years later, you learn more, you'll go back, and those diaries will mean a lot more than you can understand now.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. That's really...
Yeah. And Insider Summer said, so thanks, Yak It Off. Yaked Off. That, is that Aikido? I remember that name. Used to be a name on Dupes, I think. No way, long time ago, Ionette. We haven't heard that name in a long time. It could be Aikido. Cider Somerset then says, I, Bob, Rob, Bert, Bart, and Evan. Great stuff. See, it's all food metaphor. Great stuff. You know, feed me more. They're just gobbling it down. Great stuff. I don't even know what kind of food it is. Whether it's a carbohydrate or fats or ice cream or something, just great stuff. We're filling the digital stomach. Sean comes on from the UK, and he says, "Sweet to witness Evans Ray, R-A-Y. Okay, get that pun? Evans Ray, not Evan Ray.
Yeah,
Evans Ray.
Evans Ray.
Sweet to witness Evans Ray intersecting with Dobbstown. Looking forward to the next session." With Evans Ray. That's right, Sean. Very good observation. So, we're doing great here. I don't notice what hour it is. I'm in the timeless. I'm fucking up for the next 5 days. I have no clue. Doesn't matter. Don't feel tired
at
all.
So, besides Jenny, Evan is your only guest that showed up because the other gentleman didn't show up, huh?
Sample. Yeah, he may have the time all wrong. It's all mixed. Morning. We'll phone him. We'll fucking phone him and chew his head off. Heads will roll on the 23rd. November 23rd.
Yeah.
Gonna be fun. Lots of great stuff gonna happen here. So what do you think? If your guys have nothing to say, shall I go on to part two of the evolution of the universe? This is awesome stuff. What do you think?
Go for it, Bob.
Let's see. Nobody else is posting anything. Okay, I'm going to set it up to... I'm going to play a little music, just a little bit. Just to loosen up here. Change the vibe a bit for a minute. Okay. We will now prepare our cones for the next installment. We've heard the early, early part of the evolution. Did you get that? The description of the early human as this little lemur, L-E-M-U-R, little thing with a flexible, you know what I mean? Little short, like a gremlin or something. You get those? You guys hear that?
No.
Yeah, you hadn't come in yet. Well, you hear that. Pretty neat. So now we're at the level of the altering of the caveman, the creation of Cro-Magnon man as opposed to Neanderthal man. All right. So even though Einstein says there's no time and all this stuff, this is still dealing with time, with duration, and these are entities. This is the entities version. It's not the guff, the structure of the guff speaking. This is the entities, the evergreen 6,500, 7,000 entities. And from their perspective, they're pretty interesting. So I will mute you people. Nobody wants to say anything.
All participants are now muted.
By the way, that was the Black Eyed Peas doing Where Is the Love? That's a great song. That was one of their early hits 10 years ago or so. Bring up the... Where is it? Here we go. This is April 18th, 1995. April 18th, 1995, my session with the Evergreens.
Greetings, Evergreens.
Greetings, ma'am.
I'd like to begin this session talking about the transition from not yet man to man. And is there a statement after that, in that sequence?
Just after, yes.
Yeah, beyond man, I guess.
Yes.
Future. Now the, I want to relate this to standard archaeological paleontological knowledge and have it corrected where necessary. In 27,000 BC, you have the alteration of the teeth.
Yes.
And that's the beginning of what became humans.
Yes.
That is the end of the not-yet-man phase.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, how... I've been watching some TV programs on archaeology, and there's a controversy whether man began in Africa or Asia. Could the Evergreens tell us... they're talking more or less about not-yet-man springing up, right? Before 20... Maybe you could tell us how not yet man, where it geographically began, and then where did this alteration happen in 27,000 BC?
You see, both in Africa, but man, the not yet man, was a branch of Samian stock.
That's ape.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that... that as the stock branched and time moved, it was not that some moved towards tools and some did not. It was that because of the manner in which they ate, it was the necessity of, as any essentially grazing animal, to go where fruit ripens, where edibles are. And that if you would pattern how a group eats, you'll see that you can map its territory, you can map its necessity for defense, you can map its necessity for living and its patterns of living. Now, what happens here is that...
You're talking about not yet man still.
Not yet man, yes. And needed a considerable amount of area, needed a considerable amount of hunting range, all of these things. Or not, that would find an area that was essentially productive, and because the numbers were relatively small and the demands upon the area were small, would have a tendency to be very localized. So there are basically two types of living pattern in various Samian. Now, as one branch began to develop, it was evident that the eating structure, food structure, necessities of food, could be altered. And by the alteration, would cause, across a length of time, a lifestyle change, a food difference, a gathering difference, a hunting difference. You see? Now, if you look at the majority of those animals that are on all fours, you will see that there is essentially a long tapered jaw with certain crushing abilities, certain slicing abilities, but predominantly long, and with the eyes offset. You see? Now, with the alteration of near man, so that the teeth structure would create a different jaw, then the structure of the jaw, and now note this because it's very important, allows the difference between all fours.
All fours of feet?
To use the arms as a form of locomotion. Now, if the proto-man spent much of his time as a simian, the function of the arms is a necessity to the function of the legs. That as soon as the function of the legs would shift and the shape of the pelvis would shift, and that the division between near man and more true man was this pelvic shift, this itself could not itself be engineered, but the processes that would allow it to be engineered could be engineered. And the easiest is the alteration of the teeth.
Now, you use the phrase proto-man. Is that not yet man?
That's not yet man.
Yeah. And not yet man is near man, and then man.
Then man. You see, moving into this is that if you look at the teeth structure of those branches that remained simian, you would see that the development of the jaw, development of the lower portion of the skull, is predominantly long. If you would look at man, it's predominantly short. Now, the shorter and shortening of the jaw altered the structure of the individual as a totality.
Okay, so that happens in 27,000 B.C. Now, in normal archaeological history, paleontology, they have flint-making happening 60,000 B.C., 100,000 B.C. Were
yes.
the simians using flints?
You see, yes, that certain branches were becoming more tool-using. But, you see,
were these branches all over the world or just in Africa?
Africa.
Right.
Choose the African because it will show that migration is after. The point was
after the alteration.
After alterations. Now the point we're stressing is that yes, there were tools being used by certain, but, and these were copied because there was observance of it, but the tool was predominantly as a throwing tool, not particularly a tool-making tool itself, because still the use of the arms as a form of locomotion was dominant. And any species that would use all fours would have a tendency not to move towards accelerated tool development.
So the longer arms, you're saying, is pre-alteration man.
It's
right?
Yes, it's more to throwing
right
than any other. But and to shape something to throw is not often common. But to once man began to develop, then he began to use tools, and the tools changed him.
The tools changed him?
Yes. But realize, first, it was the diet. The diet shifted considerably. Now, take a look at the jaw structure of a modern-day chimpanzee. A modern-day, you'll find the tooth structure is and more elongated. There are certain affinities with the great apes where there is a flattening, but still these are very slow, and these things that could have happened were developed faster, and because they developed faster, then the structure of the society shifted.
Right, now they, the Bhutis were looking at a particular stock of simian which had the advantage, or were they just looking at simians in general?
No, they were looking at those that had branched off, realizing that there was a branching.
Right.
And that certain would develop, certain had a tendency not. But even though all would across a length of time develop, how do you speed a development in one particular section of one particular species?
Right. Now, I have here Cro-Magnon man is a classification for 30,000 B.C. Would you agree with what scientists mean by Cro-Magnon man? So that's pre-alteration. They're talking Cro-Magnon. Do you think they mean man or not yet man, the regular scientists?
They're looking at the difference between Neanderthal
yes.
and Cro-Magnon. Now, Cro-Magnon, the timing of the Cro-Magnon is in the period that we are discussing. The Cro-Magnon is an extension of that beginning change.
Right, so I have here Neanderthal 60,000 B.C. We should correct Neanderthal for after the alteration, 27,000.
No, before.
Oh, before.
Neanderthals are before.
So that matches with the standard definition.
Yes.
And they see Cro-Magnon as a new change, but they don't see that as a result of the alteration.
No, they do not.
But Cro-Magnon is the beginning of man.
Yes.
The alteration has set in.
Alteration has set in.
All right. Yeah, 30,000 B.C. for Cro-Magnon man. So that's only 3,000 years off from a general 27,000 B.C.
Yes.
The program I saw the other night is over the origins of man in North America. Did man come from Siberia over the Bering Strait, or were they already here?
That was much later. There was some... You have to understand that the Neanderthal had the propensity to be a traveler. But the problem with the Neanderthals is that their social groupings were mostly violent, and that pairing within the Neanderthal society was not evident. Now, there was traveling, but you see, what few realize is that land bridges have existed not only in the Bering, but because of certain situations, it can be done across the northern part from the east. Very difficult, but nonetheless can be accomplished. Now, when and there is something else that we can tell you of one legend that, and this is an Inuit legend.
Yes.
That they came in silver ships.
Okay.
Now that can take a long time to explain. But the best description is those who would survive were moved. If you understand the Neanderthal, if you understand the division between the Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon, if you get into the shaping of these societies, you would see that the Neanderthal would have, if enough of them put in a certain area, would have destroyed each other. They were natural destroyers. Natural.
Yes.
They were very much destroyers of their own selves. Very much. Now, in certain sections of Cro-Magnon, this, but, realize, if you shift people that have within themselves a change and put them in various areas, which ones survive?
So you're saying the Bhutis carried these newly transformed men, apes, simians and man, carried them to other parts of the world?
Yes.
To where? Where did, were they deposited? And from where?
In as much island masses that would be available, and so that there would be an ability of at least some of them surviving.
But where were they carried from and to where?
From various portions of Africa to various portions of the Americas and various portions of the larger landmass of China.
Right, so that is the beginning. That is the that's the spreading of man.
Yes.
That's the cause of the spreading.
Yes.
And it was done in silver ships?
Yes.
Well, UFOs, as we know. The UFOs that people see in the 80s and 90s occasionally, right?
Yes.
And they're making crop circles.
Yes.
So are Neanderthals regarded as simian?
No, they're a branch of.
It's sort of a later development of the simian thing you were talking about.
Yes.
But they're a branch, and it's before 27,000 BC, but the what are called simian, they go back...
Oh, much more.
Yeah. Look, in other words, standard evolutionary charting is relatively accurate if I put these adjustments in.
Relatively accurate. Yeah. But realize how long it took to establish from the Samian roots and the development within the Samian stock and the variances that existed. And the length of time it took for the Neanderthal to develop from that stock.
How long was the stock developing? What span of years?
If you look very carefully at this, it's almost 250,000.
Right, and then the Neanderthal development is how many years, approximately? No, that's a simian.
It's a simian. Oh. The Neanderthal is approximately between 15 and 20,000.
Yeah, so you'd stretch it back from approximately 27,000 B.C. to,
yes,
to 50,000 B.C.,
yes,
approximately.
Yes, and the Neanderthal began to breed true. Now, realize that the stock of Neanderthal was very small. That did persevere.
And that's only in Africa.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So you won't find Neanderthal remains in North America?
No, you will not. You'll find other remains.
Yeah.
You mean Cro-Magnon remains?
Yes. You'll find very tall individuals that you will not find Neanderthal, not in North America.
Was Cro-Magnon black?
Cro-Magnon was black. Yes.
But you can only find Cro-Magnon man around the world because he was moved to other parts of the world.
Yes.
And
plus, there was a considerable amount of traveling.
Once they'd been moved or before?
During.
They were removed and then they traveled.
Yes.
Yeah. But how long would the moving process take? A month in human terms, time sense, or 2 weeks or 6 years?
A few days.
So it was like a zookeeper, you know, moving animals around, better grazing or something.
Better to see it as an opportunity to see if there is going to be a viability of cultures.
Right.
If you're going to have various petri dishes and you're going to find, will a culture survive in this environment or that environment, then you're looking at the probability of success is enhanced by the number of opportunities of survival. Now, if you look at the equatorial condition in the world itself, that there is a probability of survival. If placed within this equatorial area, where the food would be relatively abundant, and that there is not drastic changes of season as there would be as one moved further north or further south, so that the survivability is then enhanced. There are many factors in survivability, a basic raw survivability. One is, how can you make sure that this change of to be human, if this change, will it breed true? Will it give an opportunity to survive? Will it be able to survive in differing environments? Now, if you'd see that the difference between Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon is that the Cro-Magnon, in fact, became the top of the food chain. Because hip structure enabled to stand upright, was able to move faster on 2 feet than could on 4, then could use speed and could use the arms for throwing, for shaping, tool making and the like, but adaptable. The adaptability of humans, because they're able to alter the environment through clothing, through housing, etc., it's that adaptability that is arranged for the survivability of the human, because then he could extend beyond the equatorial. But the Cro-Magnon, yes, the Neanderthal was not survivable. That's the point.
Right.
Realize the survivability
of the Neanderthal was extremely low.
After the alteration in 27,000 BC, how many years later was it till the ships moved the altered Simians? The altered Neanderthal?
Approximately 5,000.
So, yeah, talking about 22,000 BC is when the move happened.
Yes.
Right. And the Cro-Magnon, because his pelvic structure changed, he could move and really start running around the terrain.
Oh, yes, indeed, yeah.
So that took quite a while for that alteration to alter.
5 years, 5,000 years.
Yes.
So were they altered out in the Neanderthal,
would you say? From the strain of Neanderthal. Not all, because realize there were many differing strains of Neanderthal because of rapid interbreeding. As we'd say, pairing was not on a monogamous basis, and it was basically on a convenient animal basis, which kept the gene pool surprisingly open and flexible, because the female would have, let us suggest, six offspring, or one, or two, but all of them would be from high probability different parentage. This kept flexibility of the gene pool. Now, realize, and this is not to denigrate, this is to point at, the Neanderthals survived because they were vicious, they died because they were vicious. They survived because they were able to manipulate their environment sufficiently that they could vary their diet and they could protect certain areas in which food would be growing. Very territorial. But it is territoriality that has a tendency to be lack of survival directed. It's unterritoriality that causes survival of a species. You see?
Yes. Can you, in modern map terms, say where in Africa this alteration happened and how many animals were altered? How many Neanderthals were altered?
Towards Kenya, towards East Africa, in those areas.
And how many alterations were done on individual members?
The entire Neanderthal population. Approximately 150,000. Yes.
And that took a month? What's the time span of the work to do that?
2 years.
All right.
What was involved in this alteration?
Oh, yeah, that's what I wanted to add to it. I remember reading it, an old Evergreen reading. Wasn't something done to the wrist? In an old transcript, I remember that.
Yes.
What was that?
That was altering the movement of the wrist.
Is that done genetically? Like the teeth were altered, is it genetically, you would say, or molecularly?
The teeth are altered into the forward structure of DNA. Forward structuring is repositioning certain teeth and inspecting the form to breed that in the following generation. That's forward DNA work.
Now the wrist?
Same thing.
All right.
But the teeth are more important.
Yes. Well, the previous reading they talked about how easy it was once you knew the technology, but was it on a resonance level?
No, it's on it's partially mechanical if you're going to move teeth, it's not that hard when you know how.
Is it done by injections?
Infusions, yes.
What do you mean infusions?
The best description is that terminology is inexact because there is no present-day terminology to form this. But
so we got to stop it there for a minute, get over the top of the hour. I'll unmute you guys.
All participants are now unmuted.
Document you are hearing?
I really can't wait to hear the first part that I missed.
Yeah, it's all great. You can't miss any of it.
This is the Boothian's background, huh?
Yeah. Which is the Boothian's constellation. You know that. Six or seven stars. Arcturus is the most well-known star. Look it up. The Boothian's constellation. Yep. That's what we're talking about.
Man, oh man.